Welcome to the latest episode of the London Review Show from the Flaneur. This week we're starting off several centuries BC with the Odyssey from Theatre ad infinitum and Antigone at Stratford East. Then we're moving right up to date with an evening of music and audiovisual experiments at Rich Mix in East London. No matter how bad your commute, it's almost certainly not as trying as Odysseus' journey home from the Trojan War. Even the most delayed of delayed trains shouldn't see you arrive home 10 years after you set out. If it did, rather than have to fight 108 suitors for your own wife's hand, you should be in line for some whopping compensation. Theatre ad infinitum have brought a storytelling version of Homer's The Odyssey to the Vault Festival in London's Waterloo. But this is no Jack and Ori bedtime story book reading. The one-man show is a passionate and physical oral declamation that lets the audience experience the story in a manner similar to the original Greeks who heard Homer himself back in 850 BC. If, of course, Homer was an actual person and not himself a mythical character. Performed by George Mann in long shorts and a glimmering cut-off tee, Odysseus' adventures are brought to life through voice, gesture and physicality. After 10 years fighting in Troy, Odysseus heads home. But the gods have other plans, and the journey becomes a decade-long adventure, meeting exotic characters such as Nausicaa, the Lotus Eaters and the Sirens. Hands become boats, fingers function as legs. Mann takes on every character, including Odysseus himself, a swineherd, his son Telemachus and his wife Penelope. At Camp Antinous is particularly memorable, as are the gestures when Odysseus and his men strap themselves underneath sheep to escape from the Cyclops, which again is an interpretation you'll remember. Homer's tale has moments that seem odd to modern audiences. His wife is praised for her chastity, but O is held to different standards. Even though he is desperate to get home, he spends a year with Circe and has to be dragged away by his men. His actions on reaching home are bloodthirstier than society would advocate today. But Odysseus was a hero back in a time when a chap's character was only enhanced by a quick massacre or two. This Odyssey is an absorbing, intense performance by an actor fully in command of his material. With guttural noises, an ancient hacker, words and physicality, Mann embodies all of the characters, taking an enthralled audience along on the journey with him. It brings Homer alive and makes you see why he has endured. It also makes being crammed on the Northern Line or standing all the way to Reading seem not so bad. Not many things survive 2,500 years. Usually you have to head to the British Museum to see anything that old. But until 14th of March, you can see Antigone at the Theatre Royal Stratford East. Industrious tragedian Sophocles, years on earth 90, plays written 120, wrote his bestseller back in 441 BC, when Alexander the Great wasn't even in short trousers. It's a date so far away as to make W. Shakespeare look like some Johnny-come-lately, whose plays have yet to survive the test of time. In our 21st century of built-in obsolescence and quickly changing fashions, it is remarkable that this play from ancient Greece is still deemed relevant enough to be performed. But this production by BAFTA award-winning playwright Roy Williams is a very free adaptation. Directed by Marcus Roma, Williams' script keeps elements of the ancient plot, but drops others, whilst completely new scenes and vulgarities are added. Conversations that Sophocles didn't write are depicted, with most lines spoken in an urban inflected English heavy in slang. Oddly for a famous tragedy, deaths and their causes are changed, and people who should die remain standing. It's a little like it must have been watching Tate's happy ending version of King Lear, which for years supplanted Shakespeare's original on the British stage. Antigone's action is set today in a world of half-completed reinforced concrete pillars and threatening metal gates. Hat tip to the lighting designer Alexandra Stafford, but it is the set design by Joanna Scotcher that is one of the high points of the production, evoking the noirish underground world of Harry Lime's Vienna. Here we meet Creo, originally King of Thebes, played as a wannabe ruthless gangster by Mark Monroe. He splutters, shouts and ridicules, and gives a strong sense of an overpromoted man desperately playing a part he feels is slipping away from him. On stage, a wheelie bin has had two sides dropped off and been upholstered to contain a smart sofa. Creo sits on this absurd, pimped-up dumpster as though it is a throne. It's a telling symbol of his rotten life. His tiny world of power and luxury is, if he looked more closely, in fact part of something repellent. We start at the same point as Sophocles' original. In recent battles, Antigone's brothers, Orion and Eto, have both died. fighting on opposite sides against each other. Loud and stubborn Creo has decreed that whilst Eto will be laid to rest with honours, Orin will be left unburied, to be destroyed by dogs. Antigone, here known as Tig, ignores this decree and tries to bury her brother. Creo isn't impressed with her filial love, and her insouciant power struggle, well pitched by Savannah Gordon-Liburd, seals her fate, allowing the audience to contemplate what is the right way to behave when faced with a tyrant. Video projections are used throughout, with characters and images appearing high on various parts of the set. References to the power of Greek gods have mainly been dropped from the text, but these projections, many live close-ups of an actor already on stage, suggest something more contemporary. Many humans, like Creo and Tig, have elevated themselves to position of gods, sitting in judgment over their own behaviour. How strange it isn't when they judge that they've done the right thing. Creo does not realise his errors and notice his misplaced confidence. He does not suffer the complete familial destruction experienced by the ancient character on which he is based. We leave him as we found him, a stubborn, self-made fighter who has learnt no lessons. Undiluted Greek Tragedy is not a natural MTV, BBC Three crowd pleaser, which is the demographic this version of Antigone aims for, producers Pilot Theatre saying they deliver work for, by and with young people. Judging by the faces at the Royal Theatre, Tig appears to be successfully capturing the youth. But this version is only inspired by Sophocles and is not for purists. Unlike the original, I doubt it will still be performed in 4500 AD. Marijuana grows wild in Bhutan, Graham Daniels of Addictive TV explained at the Rich Mix Arts Centre last week. A large cow nonchalantly lays on the grass on the big screen behind him. That bull is stoned. That's how he could get so close. It was halfway through an evening of live innovation with trip-hop originator Howie B, solely folk from Kizzy Crawford, and audiovisual sampling from Addictive TV. Bhutan was one of the exotic recording sessions on Addictive TV's five-year odyssey around the world, during which they compiled a large audiovisual database to use in their orchestra of samples. When not filming hooved potheads, Daniels and Mark Vidler concentrated on recording musicians, some playing recognisable instruments, some unusual instruments, and others homemade contraptions. One musician filmed outside a scrapyard taps enthusiastically on an old suspension spring. The Addictive TV duo sample from this large archive to create songs, mixing not just music, but the associated images of the musicians playing. These are projected simultaneously, a different performer in each part of a split screen. With samples from over 150 musicians, including Stereolab's lead singer Letitia Sadia and even Motorhead's original drummer, they have created a virtual supergroup of musicians who are playing together but have never met. It's a clever cross-cultural idea, but images don't mix as well as sound. The visual samples are long and isolated visually from their neighbours. What results is like a music video that has a fixed camera on every member of the band, which becomes repetitive and not as addictive as the name suggests. For some live visual excitement, the duo were joined on stage by beatbox champion Bass 6, sitarist Baluji Srivastav and violinist Shona Mooney, who will next be seen in London at the Barbican in April, accompanying the silent film Annie Laurie. Earlier, the evening kicked off with a set from Welsh singer-songwriter Kizzy Crawford on electroacoustic guitar and violin. Named as one of the BBC's Horizons acts for 2015, Crawford is a confident, expressive performer, nimbly strumming her instruments while tapping the guitar pedal boards with unshod feet. Showcasing her new single Shout Out, she impressed with the breadth of her inspiration. After all, songs of love you've heard hundreds of times. Songs of pain and heartache you've heard thousands of times. But how many songs have you heard about a girl trapped in a tower block, whose only way to escape is to teach a starling a Welsh song? High marks for a lyrical originality for this eyes-closed, heartfelt young singer. Finally, the night came to a close with legendary producer and DJ Howie B playing a unique, fully improvised live set. An influential figure in electronic music for two decades, he is credited as one of the inventors of trip-hop and has collaborated with Soul to Soul, Bjork and Brian Eno. Glasses hanging from a hole in his mustard sweater, hands darting from laptop to keyboard, twisting knobs and pressing buttons to build his rich soundscape, Howie danced happily behind his desk. This is a man who clearly enjoys his work. With no visuals, no gimmicks, and no bare feet, it was all about the music, creating an atmosphere for people to dance and forget. Thanks for listening. You can get more reviews at www.flaneur.london. If you'd like the Flaneur to come and visit your venue or play, please get in touch at critics@flaneur.london. Thanks. Bye.